Friends, I want you to listen carefully today, because at the beginning of 2021, the Lord has a word specifically for you. You say, Keith, it don't really respond. It doesn't really apply to me at this time. But listen, God knows you. And some of you here in our building and in your building, you need to hear what God wants to say. In the beginning, in the old movie, I've used this several times in the past. In the old movie, City Slickers, you can see I don't watch this thing. There's a scene in which three friends are together, and one of them is telling the others about how they messed up his entire life. He messed it up. He lost his wife. He lost his child. He lost his job. He lost his self-respect. He lost everything. He was basically telling the other two fellas that it's over. I've lost everything. And in the movie, the character played by Billy Crystal says, no, that's not true. You have everything to live for. A fresh start. You have a do-over. And then Billy Crystal reminds his friend that when they were children and they were playing baseball, and someone would hit the baseball into the tree and it would get stuck up there, all the people will yell out, it's a do-over. It's a do-over, and then they will play that all again. Your life, Billy Crystal says to his friend, is a do-over. Isn't that true, friends? The story reminds me of the game of golf in which you find what we call a mulligan. Mulligans are do-overs for bad players who hit a bad shot. Me, for example. I can't play golf, but I give it a go once in every 5 years. And so playing golf, for me, I always seem to qualify for a mulligan or two. Their purpose is for guys like me who can't play, not to quit in frustration and leave. How many of us, friends, would love to have a do-over, a mulligan, a fresh start in your life? Many of us have made mistakes and have experienced setbacks and failures throughout our lives. Sometimes we allow these mistakes, these setbacks, these failures to enslave us to a point that we never enjoy the Christian life that God wants you and I to have. Many of us have said to ourselves, I am going to grow in my relationship with God. I am going to pray more. I am going to read the Bible more. I am going to get more involved in the church. I'm going to spend more quality time with my family. And the list goes on and on. But the mistakes we've made in the past have hindered us from doing the things we want to do. Friends, God would rather give you a do-over. God would rather give you a mulligan so that you don't quit the race, so that you don't give up, so that you don't throw in the towel. And that's the good news God says to us at the beginning of 2021. He says, I want to give you a fresh start in life. I want you to give you a new beginning in life. I want you to do something new in your life. And doesn't that make you feel excited this morning? You want to dance? Let's look what the Bible says in our text today, friends. Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19. God says, this is God speaking through Isaiah. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Friends, this promise is made to a Jewish nation who had been reeling from judgment and the consequences of their own choices and actions. Have you ever had to face the consequences of your own actions? But wouldn't it be nice? At that time, you are handed a do-over. God says, here's a mulligan for you. That's exactly what God is doing to the Jewish nations. Friends, God hasn't changed. He still gives us a makeover. He still gives us a do-over. He still gives us a mulligan. He still gives us a new beginning. He still gives us a fresh beginning. You say, Keith, I sucked in 2020. God says, yeah. Yeah, it's a mulligan. Yeah, it's a do-over. Did you hear that? Forget what has happened before. Do not think about the past. Instead, look at the new things I'm doing. That's according to the New Century Version. What about another paraphrase of the Bible puts it this way? Forget what has happened before. Don't think about it. It's over. The book is closed on it. Friends, we need to understand that God is far more interested in your future than he is in your past. Some people think that God is stuck on the past, that all he wants to do is to remind them of the things they've done wrong, that God is angry and he just can't wait to punish them. We feel that way too. Friends, God is more interested in your future than he is in your past, because that's where you're going to spend eternity, in the future. He says, forget about your past. Don't think about the former things. Think about it. Look, don't think about it. Look at the new thing I'm going to do. There are many people who think that God has stopped moving a long time ago, but that's not true, friends. He said, I will do a new thing. The fundamental, now this is a little bit theology. The fundamental principles of divine activity are changeless. They never change. But the outward shape of that activity alters with the changing needs of God's people. When last have you got manna in the desert? But as your situation changes, that activity alters because of the changing needs of God's people. We are meant to reflect on the past with gratitude and faith, but not allow it to stereotype your expectations from God. Don't say, well, I didn't get any manna, so God is not doing anything new. Your situation has changed and God is doing a new thing. Friends, God is doing a new thing and he wants to do so in your life and in my life. Don't live in the past. There's not all bad in the past. Helen and I, on New Year's Eve, we said we're not going to live in how bad the COVID-19 was for 2020. Great things happened in 2020. Amen. I'm here. God has blessed me with good health. That's a good thing. You say, but I lost my job, the bad thing. But you were never hungry. God provided for you. That's a good thing. So the past isn't all bad, friends. That's what I'm saying. But what God wants you and I to know today is that sometimes we can't see the new things that God is doing because we're living in the good old days. And God is not moving like, yeah, in our church, because you know, in 1938 and 1972, God did this great thing. So we're living in the good old days, but we're not seeing the things that God is doing for us today, friends. We are not doing so. We are blinded by our past. Now, let me give you some historical background into our text, Isaiah 43. Israel was being punished for their sins and rebellion against God. They were in exile in Babylon. They were prisoners of war in Babylon. They were taken as prisoners back to Babylon. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. Every time he blessed them with good things, they would return to him evil things. For example, he gave them the temple, but they gave him idol worship. He gave them truth, but they lived and proclaimed a lie. God gave them his commands, but they lived as if it was multiple choice and it was options, and it was suggestions. God gave them wealth, but they used it to abuse the poor. God gave them himself, and they gave him nothing except rejection. They rejected him. Well, at this point in their lives, at this low point, God sends a word through the prophet Isaiah, because he knew that his people needed some reassurance. He wanted to reassure them. And in Isaiah 43, he starts by telling them who he is. I want you to all read Isaiah 43 later, the whole chapter. Let me just tell you a few things about it. In verse 1, it's not on your screen. He tells them that he is the creator and the one who made them out of nothing. In verse 3 and 4, he tells them that he is the Lord, the one who loves them, and that they are precious in his sight. In verse 5, he tells them that they do not need to be afraid because he is with them. In verse 11, he tells them that he is the Lord, and apart from him, there's no other savior. In verse 14, he tells them that he is the Redeemer, and that he is all they need when in bondage. In verse 15, he tells them that he is the Holy One and King, and he is the one who keeps his promises. Now, friends, tell me something. If I was facing a challenge, a major challenge in my life, a major setback, I had some hills to climb. I had some giants to deal with. I had some raging rivers to cross. There are these things that God said in Isaiah 43 would reassure me. It will reassure me. How about you? Does it reassure you, friends? I believe that God is saying the same thing about himself to us. What did he say? He said that he is our creator and our Lord, that he loves us, that we are precious to him. He says, we don't need to be afraid. He says he is with us. He said that he is our Lord and Savior. He said that he is holy and he is our King, and he is the one who keeps his promises. Isn't that wonderful? Hey? Do you need to hear that today, friends? God is saying, wait, hang on, forget all that. This is who I am. And this is who you are. We sang about that this morning, friends. Well, if that wasn't enough, verse 16 and 17, he reminds the Israelites of the great things he had done for their forefathers, how he had brought them out of the bondage of Egypt, how that in the middle of the Red Sea, he made a highway for his people and a graveyard for their enemies, Pharaoh's army. He said, man, he is all powerful. Isn't that marvelous, friends? And now he says, forget your past. Come on now. Listen, man. This is who I am. This is who you are. Forget your past. Stop letting it rob you of your joy. Stop letting it make you miserable. Stop letting it giving you a hopeless end. He's saying, stop it. If you're not sure, you say, I don't know. Think about what God has done for us, friends. Some of us face Pharaoh's army in the form of a doctor's report, diagnosis. Some of us have lost our jobs and found ourselves in financial difficulties. When there were breakdowns in our family relationships, when we lost a loved one. But in every one of these situations, somebody is a witness to the fact that God had made a way where there seemed to be no way. Amen. Some of you face such tremendous difficulties, such major setbacks, but you're here to testify today. When it seemed hopeless, when it seemed like a hopeless end, God made it an endless hope. Isn't that something, friends? That is marvelous. The children of Israel did not deserve to receive anything from God. Yet he loved them and he earnestly wanted to help them change. Listen, God is not condemning them for their past. He's not just standing there with an angry face pointing at them and said, you worship that idol, you're rubbish. He never ever said that. Because they could do nothing to change their past. God was holding out a hand of hope. He was in effect saying, listen, forget what has happened. I'm giving you an opportunity to start again. God wanted to give them hope and encouragement. He wants them to know that even though they will be punished for their sins by being in Babylon as in exile, they were not forsaken. You are not forsaken, friends. That's not the end of them, God was saying. Israel, no doubt, was discouraged because they thought it was the end of them, that they had gone too far, that they had sinned and rebelled against God to the point that he would no longer be their God, that it was all over. They could remember the former things. They could remember the past, but they couldn't see their future. And that's why God is saying, I am going to do a new thing. I am going to do a new thing. Maybe that's where you are this morning, friends. You feel that you have made so many mistakes that you failed yourself, your family, and you failed God in so many ways. You have had a financial failure, a relational failure, a moral failure, that you have blown it, that you have made some decisions you are ashamed of and you hope nobody ever finds out. Now you're feeling that it's over, there's no future for you, that God doesn't love you anymore, God doesn't care about you anymore, and it's over. Regardless of the failure you have had in your life, friends, God is saying, listen, on the first Sunday of 2021, I want you to remember, it's not over. I have plans for your life. I'm about to do something new in your life. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Remember that verse? Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. I have plans not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. I have plans to give you a great future. This is what God is saying in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. So, friends, how do you go about making a fresh start? How do you start over? The first step I want to share to getting a fresh start is this. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses. If you want a fresh start in life, you have to stop making excuses for your failures. I've got to stop blaming other people. I've got to stop seeing myself as a victim of my circumstances. Other people can hurt us, yes. Other people can harm us. But the only person who can ruin your life is you. Nobody can ruin your life without your permission. You have a choice. You can choose how you're going to respond to those hurts. The Bible says that the starting point is just be honest and accept responsibility for the part, your part in the problem. Let's look what Proverbs 28 verse 13 says. Proverbs 28 verse 13. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Do you see that? Do you see that, friends? A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. He gets a fresh start. He gets a mulligan. He gets a do-over. He gets a new beginning. The starting point to starting over is to be honest and face up to the problems that most of the problems in my life, most of the failures is my fault. My fault. My fault. It's not Johnny's fault down the road. My fault. It's hard to get people to admit they're wrong. People don't like to admit, I've made a mistake, I blew it. God says that if we admit the mistake, that if we admit our failures, that if we admit our sin, then we get another chance in life. I didn't put the scripture on the screen because just recently I quoted it. In 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So friends, don't be afraid to admit that you've made a mistake. I was wrong, Lord. It's true. It was me. Don't be afraid to admit that you are not perfect. That you're not perfect. If there's anybody on the Zoom here who have never made a mistake, please, I want to shake your hand with COVID and all. We've all made mistakes, friends. Besides, we're not perfect. When you blame others and make excuses for your troubles, you tend to want to give up. But you can't give up. Let's put a Proverbs 24 verse 10. It says, Proverbs 24 verse 10. If you give up when troubles come, it just shows that you are weak. You're the weak one when you give up. Did you see that, friends? Failure is the path of least resistance. The problem is that often during trying times, we stop trying. Do you see that? Often during trying times, we stop trying. We give up. You know that saying, idiomatic expression, if at first you don't succeed, try and try again. Well, I want to just change it a little bit. If at first you don't succeed, welcome to the human race. How about this one? If at first you don't succeed, you're normal. Very few people make it on their first try. Oftentimes, we give up when success is just around the corner. You're never a failure until you give up. Don't give up, friends. Sometimes we give up too soon. It's always too soon to quit. The Bible says we need to stop at making excuses, admit it's our fault, and get on with life. Sorry, Lord, I messed up there. I made a mistake. I failed. Sorry, Lord. I'm carrying on now. The next step in getting a fresh start is to act in faith. Act in faith. You have to launch out into new territories. The Bible says that the key to changing anything is faith. If you want to change your circumstance, it takes faith. If you want to change your personality, it takes faith. If you want to change anything in your life, you have to have faith. One day, two blind men come to Jesus. He heals them. But first he says to them in Matthew 9, verse 29, the last verse there. When these two blind men come to Jesus, first he says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. You should say, I got no faith, to remain blind. I got a little bit of faith. Everything is blurry. Lord, I've got faith in you. Healing. That means we tend to get out of life what we expect. What are you expecting in life? Are you expecting to be better or worse, or you want to stay the same? Well, whatever it is, it's according to your faith. If you act in faith, then you will do something positive to ensure that you don't repeat the same mistake again. The faith that I'm talking about, friends, is not, I hope so kind of faith, or I wish so kind of faith, or I think so kind of faith. I'm talking about that you have to have, I know so kind of faith. I know it. Coupled with the help of God to change your life. You need faith that will allow you to use your failures and your setbacks as stepping stones. Faith that tells you in your darkest hour that God is bigger than your worst enemies. Faith that tells you that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. That's the kind of faith you need, friends. To experience the new and amazing things that God has for you, friends, you must act on your faith. In order to start acting in faith, you need to stop having a pity party to which you're the only one invited. You've got to stop feeling sorry for yourself. Poor me, I'm a victim. Life is unfair. Of course, life is unfair. We live in a world that's filled with sin, and because of that, life is unfair. But you have to go on with your life, friends. Stop having a pity party. Stop rehearsing the past, regretting the past, and get on with the present and the future. The more time you spend regretting your past, the more of your future is wasted. The more time you spend thinking, I wish that didn't happen. I wish I could change that. If only I can go back and reverse the clock and undo history and redo history. You are rehearsing and regretting, and you'll not only make yourself miserable, but you're setting yourself up for the same thing in the future. Friends, the way you set yourself up for more failure is by focusing on the past, all the time, the past. Sometimes you said sorry to the Lord for that time when you regret it, and then you go back and the Lord said, what are you doing about it? What are you doing that for? You say, well, Lord, you know, on that date, this happened and that. And he says, what do you mean? You said sorry. I forgot it. I put it in the sea of forgetfulness. Why are you still living there? Why are you still going back? You say, well, it was that time. You say, what time? Friends, listen. Whatever you focus on, you'll tend to reproduce in your life. Jesus said, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. What you need to do, friends, is learn from failures. Let me give you the real secret of success. Every successful businessman knows this. Success, real success, is built on failure. Failure is a way you become a success. You figure out what doesn't work. When Edison figured out on the 200th time what would make a light bulb stay lit. He did that because he knew of 199 ways when it won't stay lit. Did you see that? 199 times it didn't work. Hey, on the 200th time it worked. You see that, friends? You never call it a failure in your life. Call it an education. Messed up there. What did I learn from it? I'm not doing it again. You learn from your past failures and mistakes and act in faith for the future. Some people will never act in faith because they're paralyzed by the fear of past failures and mistakes. Faith is not so much the absence of fear, it's moving ahead in spite of fear. It seemed like just the other day when I was sharing, I used this sentence. Fear knocked on the door. Faith opened and no one was there. You see that? Number one, stop making excuses. Number two, act in faith. And friends, next we come for number three and four. I'm going to stop right there now. Okay? Part two next week. Thank you for listening so attentively. Listen, friends, it's not rocket science. This is my past. This is my future. Forget this. Forget it. God says, I'm doing a new thing. And you say, yes, Lord, I'm in. I'm in, Lord. I'm in. I believe you. And I'm going to behave like I believe you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you heard me tell everybody they look so lovely. Yes, they, everybody looks so lovely. But you know what's happening on the inside, Lord. You know that every time we are going on and we are happy and we are excited, somebody says one thing, we remember that thing, we see that, and it reminds us of something, and we feel this anxiety in our lives. We feel so nervous and scared and afraid and so on, because it reminds us of how we messed up so royally. But we thank you today, Lord, that you said, stop it. That you said, don't do that. Don't keep going back. It's time to move forward. And I'm going to do a new thing in your life. And Lord, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help everyone, because we can relate, Lord. Help us all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Friends, please get ready now for communion. Some of you have to go to the kitchen and get your stuff, and please get ready now. And for those in the sanctuary today, there's 13 of us in the sanctuary today. Dwight and Ellen will be up here. Please come yourself to take communion. But let me start by reading. I'll ask Ellie to put it on the screen, and I'll ask Ross to put the passage on the screen that I'm going to read. Oh, I've got the New King. I've got the New, right, I'll read from you. Paul is saying, that he received from the Lord, and he's passing that on to us. That the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And then Paul added, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Friends, we have just celebrated the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came a long time ago. He came to this earth. We looked at the whole Christmas story and his birth, and we are so happy. And we keep imagining him with these little pink cheeks and all that. And he's so cute. And Helen was saying Jesus was dependent on his mother. And he needed to burp and all that, and he needed to have his diaper changed. All the little things are so cute. But he lived for us, friends, and he died. He paid the price for that we owed, so that we could be reconciled with God. And before he paid that tremendous price by giving his own life, he said, you know what, guys? I want you to remember this. I want you to remember me. Because when you remember me, it changes your perspective. You then begin to live with appreciation and gratitude to him for what he has done for you, friends. So as we participate today, let's remember that Jesus died for our sins. It's a wonderful time for you today, because as you come to the table of the Lord, you realize that he endured the cross that was set before him in Hebrews 12, verse 2. And now suddenly, as we stand at the beginning of the new year, it's a time as we gather around the table of the Lord, it's a time of fresh dedication, an opportunity to rededicate your life to him. It's a time of self-examination, taking stock of your life. It's a time of meditation on God and the goodness of God. It's a time of expectation. Paul says, we proclaim the Lord's death when we gather around the table until he comes. And so as we gather around the Lord's table, it's a time of expectation, expecting him to come back again. And it's a time of encouragement. Amen.